Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Megan Lynch. This hour, you'll meet a dog trainer who retrained herself to meet the unique needs of military veterans suffering from PTSD. Nicole Lanahan, executive director of the Illinois nonprofit Got Your Six Support Dogs, next.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Got Your Six Support Dogs, based in the Metro East, trains animals to serve veterans living with PTSD. It was launched by trainer and executive director Nicole Lanahan. I recently met with Nicole at the nonprofit's training facility in Maryville, Illinois.
I started dog training in 2001, so I've been training now for 18 years. And I started off training police and military dogs to find narcotics. That was pre-9/11. And after 9/11 happened, all of our contracts went for bomb dogs. So after that, I started in the St. Louis area training basic obedience, private lessons. I worked for several large kennels around St. Louis. I even started training mobility service dogs. And it wasn't until I began getting more phone calls from veterans about, I think I started noticing it about seven, eight years ago. We'd get phone calls from veterans looking for PTSD service dogs. And I wasn't really familiar with what a PTSD service dog was. I was currently training mobility service dogs, and that's very, very obvious almost if somebody has trouble moving or has mobility issues, a dog can be trained to retrieve items for them, pick things up, assist with laundry, assist with putting articles of clothing on. But a PTSD service dog wasn't as obvious to me. So since I had little experience in it at the time, I was trying to refer everyone that called me somewhere else. And I just kind of do a Google search. Well, have you tried this place? Have you tried this place? And then what started happening was I would get a follow-up phone call from the person, and they would say, well, this place that I called wants to charge me $20,000 for a dog. Or this place that I called has a 5-year waiting list. And the moment for me when it kind of all changed was I was working for another organization in Chicago training comfort dogs. And I remember exactly where I was. I was on I-55 coming back to St. Louis, and I had a phone call from a veteran that I tried to refer, and they just started crying on the phone. And they told me, look, I can't afford $20,000. I can't leave my house. I can't do anything. My life is the shadow of what it was. And they just started sobbing. And they're like, I just don't understand why you can't help me. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, Nicole, you've been a dog trainer, I think at the time it was like 15 years. Why can't you help them? If anybody can, you can. So the very next day, I went to my accountant and I said, hey, I want to file a 501c3. And he said, oh, Nicole, please don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's an insane amount of work. But I seldom listen to what I'm told, and I did it anyway, and that was the start of it.
Now, explain for our listeners who may not be familiar with the phrase "Got Your Six," what that means and why you named your organization that.
Absolutely. So we are Got Your Six Support Dogs, and the reason that we chose that name is because we train service dogs for veterans and first responders, and veterans and first responders understand the meaning Got Your Six. It's a slang term that started in World War II, and it was started by fighter pilots. And how it started is if you're a pilot, you refer to things around you in terms of a clock. And so if they were flying out in formation, the plane behind the one in front would say, hey, I got your six, meaning I got your 6 o'clock, which really means I got your back. So then it started translating into other branches and police officers use it. And again, it's a phrase that means I got your back.
Now you've got a buddy here. Who is this? Who is here with us? Because I'm sure our listeners have been hearing a little bit of panting behind you. Who is this that you have with you?
So I have Recon with me, and Recon is a 3-year-old German Shepherd. We typically don't train German Shepherds. Typically, the dogs that we place as PTSD service dogs are retrievers. But what happens is we acquire 75% of our dogs for training as puppies, and we'll use breeders that we have researched and we have experience with, and they're known producers of service dogs. However, we do not want to close ourselves off to rescue dogs. So 25% of the dogs that we train in place are rescue. And we typically go through Metro East Lab Rescue because they're the ones with the retrievers in the labs. Well, Cindy, who runs Metro East Lab Rescue, called me one day and said, hey, Nicole, I have a shepherd for you. And I'm like, well, typically we don't use shepherds, and you can hear him. They're a little more cautious, and it's not that they're incredibly smart, but they're more cautious, and we need our service dogs to be super outgoing and super friendly. But I went and I met him, and he is truly a Labrador in a shepherd's body. No, I bring him. He actually lives with me now. He's been with us. He was a service dog in training, and he actually flunked our program at about a year because he has what we call doggy ADD. So he has a little trouble concentrating, and he's, believe it or not, too social. And that can be a problem with service dogs. We need our service dogs to solely focus on their handler, and Recon is more obsessed with getting pets and love from everyone around him. So he's become our official spokes dog. So when I do presentations, because he has been trained as a service dog, he knows everything that they're supposed to do. He just has a little trouble concentrating, which we don't mind. But that's what makes him great when we do school visits and things like that, because then we can show what our dogs do, and then he can get lovin's at the end, where our service dogs really aren't supposed to get pet by other people. And so it's a win-win.
Let's talk about the challenges for the individuals you served. You mentioned, you know, that originally you started this because of a veteran who reached out and said, you know, I have nowhere to turn. I think a lot of people might be surprised to find out that veterans would have to pay that much to have a service animal.
The problem with it, with any service dog, our PTSD service dogs run about $20,000 to $25,000 on average, where a seeing eye dog will run about $50,000. And the problem with that is the amount of training that goes into them and the programming. So our dogs cost $20,000 when it's all said and done, but we place them at no cost to the veteran. And we're able to do this through donations and foundations and grants. We've been very blessed by the generosity of St. Louis. But everybody's like, oh my gosh, why do they cost so much? And the reason is all of our dogs are in training for over 300 hours. 50 of those are public access. They have specialty training. They're trained to alert to anxiety, interrupt nightmares, retrieve items, remind the recipient when it's time to take medication. So not only do we have to pay for all that training and the dog's care, their food, their grooming, their toys, their crates, all of their training supplies, all of their care items, but we also pay for the programming that goes into the dogs too when the veterans are here and first responders. When they come to receive a dog through us, the veterans and first responders are here for 10 days, and during the 10 days, we have a therapist that is here the entire time, and so he does group counseling sessions with them. We have a trauma resiliency program and a suicide prevention. We also offer different types of programs that they might not have tried before. We do, they have a day where they get to try acupuncture, they try aromatherapy, they try art therapy, we do something called trauma yoga. And we do all this because, again, our dogs are trained to alert to anxiety, but that's not enough. We need the the recipient to go home and say, okay, my dog is just alerted to anxiety, but now I need to know what to do about that anxiety. So we always say the dog alone is not going to fix PTSD, but the dog in conjunction with a therapeutic program and other tools can really rapidly speed up that recovery rate.
You're listening to Nicole Lanahan, Executive Director of Got Your Six Support Dogs. When we come back, what Nicole looks for in a service animal.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back. I'm Megan Lynch. Got Your Six Support Dogs is an organization based in Illinois that provides service dogs for military veterans suffering from PTSD. I recently went to the group's training facility to talk to Executive Director Nicole Lanahan about how they choose and train their animals.
When they're puppies, how do you know that this is going to be an animal that might be suitable?
Absolutely. When we're testing dogs, we look for personality. We need confident dogs. We need friendly dogs. We are looking for, if we're evaluating puppies or even older rescue dogs, we look for a dog that wants to be around people. Some of them can be a little more independent, like, hey, I'm going to go off on my own. But when we're doing testing, we'll kind of back away and see which dogs want to hang out with us. Because being a service dog, we just really need those dogs to want to be with people and want to work with people. We never force a dog to be a service dog. If we have any inkling that maybe they're not enjoying the work, maybe they're struggling with the training, that's when we cut them from the program. We have extremely high standards for our dogs. Only 80% of our dogs pass the program. And I think it might actually be a little bit lower. I think it's we have like a 30% dropout rate, and that's because, again, we're looking for those dogs that just want to do this job. And there's so many out there, and we're blessed to have them, that they wake up and they're like, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to work. And those are the dogs we want. Absolutely. Just like people don't want to do certain things, we're not going to make a dog be a service dog. If they want to be a pet and they just want to stay home and chill on the couch, then we're going to find that home for them.
When it comes to the training that you give them, what kinds of specific things are you teaching them to do beyond maybe the basic commands that most dogs should have?
So this is what confuses a lot of people when it comes to, if you're in the media, you've heard the term emotional support animal, you've heard the term therapy dog, you've heard the term service dog. And actually, of all of them, service dog, they are the only ones who are allowed public access, meaning they're the only ones that are allowed to go out to the restaurants, to the stores. And what happens is more and more people are trying to fake it, and we're seeing more and more emotional support animals out and about when they shouldn't be, because they don't have the high standards of training that a service dog does. So the Americans with Disabilities Act, there's the federal law, and they define a service dog as a dog that has been trained to perform a medical task. So we always tell people an emotional support animal can be any animal. It can be a turkey, it can be a spider, and it just makes you feel better, and that's great, but that does not mean you can take it out in public. Now, some airlines have different rules, but a lot of them are cracking down, so we won't be seeing so many tarantulas and peacocks on airplanes anymore. But so they make you feel better, but they haven't had any special training above and beyond. Maybe sometimes they do have basic obedience, but it's like I tell people, yes, your dog might make you feel better, but that doesn't make him a service dog, because that's not a trained medical task. And if your dog can sit and down, that's great too, but that's not a trained medical task. So when it comes to our dogs, what makes them service dogs are those trained medical tasks. And our dogs are trained to, they alert to anxiety and the beginnings of anxiety. So whether it's a foot tapping, or I start getting twitchy, or I start clenching my fists, or even clenching something as small as just grinding my teeth, we train the dog to the applicant. So once we find out what their tells are, we train the dog to notice that, and they're going to watch. And if they see their person start to get anxious or start to get angry, they're going to alert to that and interrupt that behavior. And in addition to that, they are also trained to interrupt night terrors. Almost all of our recipients have horrible nightmares. Sometimes they wake up aggressively, ready to fight. Sometimes they'll wake up sobbing. In either case, if we have somebody who wakes up sobbing, our dogs will wake them up with either a paw or kind of nudge them awake with their nose, and then they're going to actually climb across their chest and apply what we call compression therapy, which is something that if you have a child with autism, you're very, very familiar with, how weight now as provides that calming relief from anxiety. So actually the dog's weight across your chest will help with that. If they wake up aggressively, and we've had this, we've had an applicant who was dreaming that an intruder had broken into their house, and so they were fighting them off, and when they woke up, they were actually choking their wife. And we've had another who accidentally, they were dreaming about being in a combat situation, and they had actually struck their spouse while they were sleeping. And so if we have somebody who is aggressive during a night terror, we'll keep our dog safe by teaching them to wake them up from a distance. So our dogs are trained to either, if they notice that they're starting to thrash or get noisy, they'll go turn the lights on, or we can teach them to operate a sound machine, whichever works better for the recipient. So the dogs are safe and the person is helped, assisted as well.
I think anybody who's been around dogs, it's amazing how perceptive they are anyway. How amazing is it for you to work with these animals and see this click and see them be able to hone in on these probably sometimes what are pretty minute responses from their new owners?
I think what never fails to stun me or surprise me is how the dogs know almost instantly that this person is now their person. So we have our dogs in training for approximately a year and a half. And we raise them, some of them from puppies, some of them are older, but we have them for this year and a half. We are raising them, we're playing with them, we're taking them everywhere, and we love our dogs. Like, we love them as our own dogs. And sometimes it just breaks our heart to give them away, but it's so wonderful at the same time. So here we are with these dogs, and as a trainer, we've imprinted these dogs. But when the veterans and first responders are here, we spend the first day talking about dog behavior. They don't get their dogs till the second day, and it's a surprise to them what dog they get. And then they're here for another 10 days. At the end of that 10 days, every single dog acts like we, the trainers, are chopped liver. I can't explain it. They know that this is their forever person now. And we'll see that the dogs will come in the morning with them when they're there to work. And they're like, oh, hey, guys. They're all about their veteran or their new person. They'll come to us for a pat, some love, and then they're right back with them. They're so focused on them. And that's nothing that we can teach. I can't explain that. It's amazing. It's not a fluke either, because now we've seen it class after class after class. The dogs, I don't know how they know, but they know.
That's Nicole Lanahan, Executive Director of Got Your Six Support Dogs. Up next, how the group chooses the right veterans for their program.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Megan Lynch. This hour, my discussion with Nicole Lanahan of Got Your Six Support Dogs.
What about the application process for the veterans as far as who really might be qualified and then who might be a good fit to have an animal?
Exactly. So service dogs, again, can fast track the recovery to PTSD, and now we have the research that shows it. At first they were saying there weren't enough studies, but now we have the study from Purdue that came out last February that proves the effectiveness, and we're actually participating in a study with Johns Hopkins to prove the effectiveness of PTSD service dogs. So we know they work, but they're not going to work for everyone, and the person that they're not going to work for is the person who is not ready to recover. And so that's what we have to look for in our applications. The only requirements that we have is that our applicants can prove that they were a veteran or first responder, and that's either a DD-214 or tax return. But the other big requirement, too, is that they are actively participating in therapy. Because, and this is something that I said earlier, a service dog alone is not going to help anybody, but a service dog combined with a therapeutic program. And we even get a medical release so that we can talk to the doctor, because a service dog is not going to work if a person is just going into therapy and sitting there. And we'll see that sometimes. Sometimes the VA says, look, you have to go to therapy. And they're like, fine, I'll go to therapy, but I'm just going to sit here. You can't make me talk. And that person we can't help. Doesn't mean we can't help them down the road, but they have to make that internal commitment. You know what? I am going to talk. I am going to work to get better. They have to be ready to open up. And that's not something everybody's ready for. But at that point, that's the point that a service dog will work.
What about follow-up with the veterans and the animals as time goes on?
So we have a lot of follow-up in place. We want to make sure that we're giving everybody that goes through our program the best opportunity for success. So we actually, one of the things that we do is we have private social media groups for our recipients, and we check in 3 times a week. And that's one of the jobs that Emily does. We do check-ins. We also have a sponsor program. So if somebody applies for one of our dogs, they have to have 2 sponsors. And that one of them can be a spouse, but one of them needs to be outside the home. And this is somebody that if we don't hear from them in a while, like we haven't heard from so-and-so in a while, we can call their sponsors and say, hey, we haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. How are they doing? Do you know how's the dog doing? We also do annual recertification for our service dogs too. So yearly, we either go to the recipient, or if they're local, they can come to us, and we just have them recertify their dog, make sure that the dog's able to do everything that we trained it to do. It's able to perform its medical tasks. And we also do a health check to make sure that the weight's good, the dog looks good, their coat looks good, they're free of fleas and other parasites. And we also verify that they're still getting their annual vaccinations.
Have you ever had a situation where you've had to take an animal out of a home?
Unfortunately, yes. And that's part of our checking system is for the welfare of the recipient and the welfare of the dog. And once we did have a situation where one of the recipients was a danger to himself and a danger to others. So at that point, we did, luckily all our checks were in place, we were aware of what was going on, and we did reclaim the dog for safety's sake.
What do you do when an animal ages out? Because I'm sure it gets to the point, maybe sometimes they're not able to perform their duties as they age.
Absolutely. So one thing about our program and what we tell everyone that applies is we hope that this will be the last service dog you ever need. Our goal isn't to give them dog after dog after dog, though we will if it's needed and recommended by their therapist. But our goal is that you receive one dog from us and that you retire that dog before it needs to be retired. And so maybe you have your service dog for 3 years and all of a sudden you're able to go out and you're feeling better. And then one day you're getting ready to leave the house for a gallon of milk and you think, you know what? I think I can get this gallon of milk without my dog. I can leave the dog home for 10 minutes, go get the gallon of milk, come back. And then maybe a few more months down the road, maybe I can go to the McDonald's drive-thru or even sit inside 20 minutes without the dog, I'll be okay. And so we want to see those small steps, that small improvement, so that even before the dog ages out or is unable to do it, that those dogs are retired to be their pets by the end of their service. That's our goal.
What does it take for you to keep all of this going week after week?
Oh, that's a good question. There are not enough hours in the day sometimes. I definitely went from working 40 hours a week to 60 hours a week, and it's just a drive of passion. There are times when I'm just exhausted, and then I'll get an email from a veteran, and it'll be quick. It'll be, I just want you to know I'm alive because of you. And that just recharges us and keeps us all going. Because in any nonprofit, we network with a lot of nonprofits, and not just for veterans, but all over St. Louis. And compassion fatigue is a very real issue in nonprofits. And that's just giving until your own well is empty. But it's those messages from them that just mean the world to us. And then the community and the supporters, it takes, right now we're placing 6 dogs a year because of the financial cost of placing more. But this year we received a grant from the federal grant, we're able to place 8 dogs, and we're hoping by next year it'll be 12 dogs. And again, because the cost is so much with the service dogs, but as long as we're saving lives and we have the support of the community, we're just gonna keep going.
What about when it comes to future projects? I was reading in an article that said that you're seriously looking at adding a component for victims of sexual assault in the military?
Yes. Military sexual trauma, otherwise, it's also called MST, is way more common than anybody wants to talk about. And it's something that we see a lot in our applications, and it's male and female. And the problem with it in the military is people are so afraid to speak out against a sexual assault, is because oftentimes a superior is involved, and that can mean dishonorable discharge or some sort of punishment. So it's an environment where it's really encouraged to keep that stuff silent and keep it quiet. And again, when it comes to PTSD, they've done studies. And the thing about PTSD is, why do some people get it and why do some people not? Like we look at John McCain, who was horrendously tortured, and he came back almost with a smile on his face. I think there's video of him getting off the plane, released, and he's just beaming. The thing about PTSD is they've proven that two soldiers can experience the exact same thing, the exact same fight. They can see the exact same deaths. They can go through the exact same torture. But the soldier without a support system is the one that's going to get PTSD. And the one that has a support system is not. And so if we go back to military sexual trauma, obviously that having to keep quiet, that takes away that support system. So they are far more likely to suffer from the effects of PTSD than I have people I can talk to and tell them what happened to me and get that support that's needed. So we want to expand our program to offer an entire class of dogs just to victims of MST. And so we'd still continue on with our PTSD service dogs, but they would have this class just for them.
And I assume that's going to take additional resources down the road.
Absolutely. Yes, it will. And another program that we're really excited about, and this was actually brought on by the Department of Defense when we received a grant from them. We had a site visit. And one of the things that they suggested and a program that we kind of fell in love with is an apprentice program. So something else that we want to do in the very near future is to offer a job training program for veterans and first responders at no cost to them to learn how to become dog trainers. And so they in turn can give back by training the service dogs, even police military dogs, and we'll have that program for them and then in turn keep our existing program going as well.
Still ahead, Nicole gets some help from Recon, Got Your 6 Support Dogs Canine Ambassador.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This hour, you've heard from Nicole Lanahan, founder of Got Your 6 Support Dogs. As we wrap up, you can listen in as Nicole and the group's ambassador, a German Shepherd named Recon, walk me through the training facility in Maryville, Illinois.
One of the things that we teach them to do are those anxiety alerts. So we'll teach them either upper or lower body. So if I'm just hanging out here, and I'm just gonna hang out here for a sec and get him, because he's all wiggly. But if I were to start to get anxious, and that can be like for me, a deep inhale, a breath, he's gonna immediately come up and try to start interrupting that behavior. And that could be if I'm getting on my lap, or if I'm like standing up, let's say I'm in a social situation and I'm starting to get anxious. Maybe I start to scratch a little bit. Again, he's going to come up and keep trying to interrupt that behavior, tapping the foot. He's like, hey, stop it. All of those things to kind of redirect my attention, because as I start to get more anxious, I might know that I'm getting anxious until I'm already at that explosive state. And so what we're trying to do is prevent that explosive state from occurring and curb that anxiety before it gets that chance to really explode.
Now, from the veteran's standpoint, do they ever have a hard time adjusting to that as far as being, all of a sudden everybody in the room knows if their dog alerts that they are suffering anxiety? Is that a hard thing for them to have to deal with it first?
It can be, but it's also a great part of the therapeutic process, because it's something that we tell them. A lot of veterans, especially with PTSD, don't want to be noticed. They want to be invisible. They don't want anybody to look at them. They don't want anybody to talk to them. And so one of the great things about it too is we'll tell them, hey, when you have a service dog, especially when they apply, you're going to walk into Walmart, every single person's going to stare at you. It's what's going to happen. Are you prepared for that? And they're like, I'm totally prepared for that. But usually they're not. But while they're here, we get them prepared for that, because one of the big things about PTSD and actually recovering from it is admitting I have it. And so when a dog alerts in public and people are looking, yeah, I have PTSD. And this is just something I have to work through. So it's that public acknowledgement too is part of the healing process. So another thing is not only like anxiety, but if I were to start to get, I'll show you kind of that compression therapy I was talking about. If I were to start to get upset, not only is he going to come up and start to interrupt that behavior, but now he's on my lap, which if I was in bed, he'd be across my chest. And again, he's very heavy, and this weight actually has those benefits, that nice compression therapy, which is really nice and calming, so he can again interrupt that other behavior.
I noticed first off you do have the dog beds around the room. How do you use that in training?
Yes, so we teach all of our dogs a place command. Getting used to staying put in one place is very, very important, especially if we have dogs that go to work with the recipients or are on airplanes. So we teach them the place. They get on their bed and they learn, okay, this is my spot, this is where I stay. I can play with a toy, I can chew on a bone, I can even move around on the bed, stand, sit, lay down. They can do whatever they want, but they're taught, I got to stay put right here. And that comes in so handy.
Then I notice you also have things like, I saw a hospital bed over here and I see the power assist wheelchair here. I assume that's just to get the animals comfortable with those things.
So they're twofold. We have them in use for the service dogs to get used to seeing somebody out there, because especially an electric wheelchair can be really unsettling the first time a dog encounters one. And we get the service dogs used to the different things, the different sounds, but we also have our therapy dog division. And those are the dogs that are owned by people themselves. They're their pets, but they go through extensive training so they can take them out to hospitals, nursing homes, libraries, schools, anywhere where somebody might need a smile or some extra comfort. So those dogs in particular, if they're going to nursing homes and hospitals, are just surrounded by medical equipment. So we need to make sure that they're used to it here first. And that's, we have the regular wheelchair, we have walkers, canes, and the hospital bed for them. But for our service dogs, we also use the hospital bed when we're teaching them to wake people up from night terrors. We'll get them real cozy, have the trainer kind of lay down, maybe read a book, relax long enough that the dog starts to snooze a little bit, and then they'll start training that night terror to make sure that our dogs are able to pop up awake and then alert to them as well.
Now, what is this over here in the center of the training room?
So, these are our airline seats. And these were generously donated by Southwest. We love Southwest. Southwest even has donated several flights to us for training purposes only, so that we're able to take some of our dogs on flights before they're placed so they're familiar with airplanes. But before we do that, Southwest sent these to us, and they are actually regulation. It's a row of seats back to back, and they are exactly the space that they would be in an airplane. Because if we, typically when a service dog flies, they get bulkhead, but sometimes there are people who need bulkhead more than a service dog. And if that's the case, the regulation, airline regulation, is the dogs have to fit underneath the seat in front of them. And you can see there's not a lot of space right there. So we teach them, we teach them to get that little behind back there in that bottom carry-on space. They can protrude out, but they cannot be infringing in the person next to them space. So they kind of have to stay in their own lane there. And we teach our dogs to get settled and relaxed there and hang out there for a bit of time if necessary. Believe it or not, some of them prefer it because dogs are essentially den creatures. So they love that den feeling. Some of them actually might prefer to be able to curl up in that little ball, in that little den, as opposed to being out in bulkhead in a situation where they're not familiar. And it kind of depends on the dogs, but a lot of them you'll see when they'll curl up into that little ball and get really settled, like, okay, I'm here now. And dogs typically sleep 18 hours a day anyway, so it's a good opportunity for them to take a little snooze then.
When it comes to teaching them how to manage things in a home, I would assume a lot of them do they go home with the handlers? Are they fostered? How does that work?
They do. That's why our program is a little different. All of our dogs, why you're not seeing so many dogs right now, all of our dogs live with our trainers. So it's really important to us that our dogs experience every aspect of a home and what they may encounter. What's really great about that is some of our trainers have young children. Some of our trainers have goats. Some of our trainers, I have chickens. Some of our trainers, we have cats. And so the dogs will switch monthly. So they're getting exposure to a world of different things. We have a foster trainer, so a volunteer who just took one of our service dogs to a swim meet. And the dog had never been to a big pool before, so that was something new and exciting. And then someone who took a dog to a wrestling meet and restaurants. And so we want to make sure that they're just exposed to every possible scenario and situation.
What do you think you've learned from these animals and by doing this for these veterans?
It's amazing. I truly believe that dogs and humans were created for each other. And I've never believed it more until I got into this. And so there's an old debate with dog trainers. And the debate starts, did the dog see us and see an opportunity? Like, hey, look at the wild dog. Look at these humans. I bet if we pair up with them, they're going to feed us and take care of us. This is a good situation. And then there's those that believe that the humans domesticated the dog. We saw them as an opportunity to help us hunt. And I kind of believe now, after doing this, it's the middle road. I think we needed each other, and we ended up with each other because really there was no other way to end up.
That's Nicole Lanahan, Executive Director of Got Your Six Support Dogs. For more information on the organization, you can go to gotyoursixsupportdogs.org or call 618-206-5015. Again, that's 618-206-5015.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.